So today I'm sharing on being faithful. And I thought about this a lot when Steve asked me to teach. And I thought about my lives. I thought about the people that I'm close to. I thought about the leaders in our area. I thought about the examples that I consider or I think, you know, someone that I look to as being faithful. And I thought about the qualities that I thought in them that were faithful. It blessed me a lot because we have it good. We have it really good in this area. We have men and women that have stood year after year after year. So yes, we have the Bible to have as an example, but just look around. We have some great people here that have been faithful. So it's a privilege to be a part of this family. I also thought, well, why would anyone want to do this? Why would anyone want to be faithful to God, to his word, and to his people? And many people commit to many different things. People commit to jobs. People move their whole lives for jobs. People commit for sports. People commit for just random groups. And people commit in relationships. And I thought, well, people take a long time to make these decisions. Like, all right, I'm going to take this job here. Why would I take the job? Is the location good? Is the pay good? What are the benefits? What are the perks? And you think about, is it a good company to work for? Is there room for advancement? Well, what about God? What about being faithful to God and committing to that? All those things that you think about to just get a job, just honestly a simple decision, what about committing to God? The perks are pretty good, I gotta tell you. So in 1 John, let's go there. We're gonna look at why would you want to be faithful and to commit to God and his word. And I can guarantee you that you won't be let down. So 1 John chapter 4, John stole a couple of my verses. I'm not mad at you, but it's all good.
Love you, Lacey.
I love you too. 1 John chapter 4, and this one actually blew me away like it blew John away. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Like John was sharing, it's who he is, but also it's in everything that God is. It's in every part of his being. Like you can search as much as you want to look to see what else God is, and every fiber of his being is love. That's what he is. And it's amazing. It's mind-blowing. Romans chapter 15. So our God is a loving God. You might find a good boss, but you're not going to find a boss as good as God. But, you know, Romans chapter 15. This one's cool too. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. The God of patience. The best boss you have is not going to be as patient as God. God of patience. So you know what that means? When you fall short, God's okay with it. I mean, meaning that he's gonna give you another shot because he's a God of patience. Colossians chapter 1. So God is love and God is patient. And like John was saying, in order for you to commit to something like this or to be faithful to something like this, you have to see what you're serving, see what you're committing to, see what you're gonna be faithful to. And like I said, you won't be disappointed. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. God's a God that delivers, a delivering God. What more deliverance do you need from being death unto life? That's pretty big. So God can handle whatever it is that you need deliverance from. Romans chapter 8, it's an oldie but a goodie. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We have a God that's on our side always. You're going to, you know, I can tell you right now, if you screwed up at your job, you're not going to have everybody on your side. Someone's going to throw you under the bus. But with God, even if you mess up and hurt one of his kids, he still is on your side because God is love. Numbers 23. He's a sweet God. I got so blessed doing this teaching because it's like, it kind of helps you just to reevaluate your life and just be like, you know what, I'm good. I could do this, you know? I'm gonna just stick with it. Because it does get tiring for people, but just you have to look at who you're serving, and it makes it a lot easier. Numbers 23, verse 19. John read this one too. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Our Father's not a liar, because he's not a man. Our Father says what he means and means what he says. He'll come through. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Numbers, Deuteronomy. So, our God is faithful. He's a good God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenants and mercies with them that love him and keep commandments to 1,000 generations. He's faithful. That's our God. Our God is a faithful God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think it's just so sweet to look at who our Father is. He's a good one. The best employment you'll ever have. A lot of openings. Chapter 10, verse 13. Okay. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God's a faithful God, and he will make a way where it may seem that there is no way, because that's our God. You're not going to find anything like that besides God. That word faithful here is trusty, faithful. A person who shows themselves faithful in a transaction of business, the execution of commandments, or the discharge of official duties. One who kept his plight faith worthy of trust, trustworthy, and can be relied upon. Our God can be relied upon. He's trustworthy. God is a faithful God. This means that this is still true this day. Like John did that line, it really blessed me because it made this very clear. Because in Malachi 3:6, God doesn't change. He was faithful from the beginning, is faithful now, and will continue to be faithful. So we have a God that's faithful. We know that our Father is faithful, and we know that we have to be faithful, or that we ought to be faithful. Because Ephesians 5:1 says that we're to be followers of God as dear children. And that word followers is mimetes, which means to mimic. We're to mimic God. And if we're going to mimic God, we saw a bunch of wonderful characteristics that we're to mimic, and we're to be faithful too. And to let you know, life is much simpler when you commit. It's a lot easier when you commit. And when it comes to the word, there's no space for being wishy-washy. You have to be committed. James chapter 1. And this verse is a nice way of saying poop or get off the pot. So in James chapter 1. But if you honestly, like, I just think of it like, we have such a wonderful God. What else is there to commit to? What else do you think is worth living your life for than God? It's an easy answer, I think. James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you either, or get off the pot. You know, let's just commit to God and to his word. Let's be reliable. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And honestly, like I said, I thought about this, and we have great examples of this right around us. People that are faithful, people that have stood through many things and are still loving and kind and would do this for another 30 to 40 years because they love God and his people so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. It's a requirement that we are faithful. That's something that if you're getting a job, a requirement is to have Word, Microsoft training or, you know, experience. For us as believers, it's a requirement for us to be faithful. We are to be reliable when it comes to the Word. And we're going to look at just three things that I thought are big ones that we should be faithful to. So we're to be reliable when it comes to the mystery, meaning keeping the mystery alive, letting people know what it is, making sure that the mystery is no longer a mystery. Ephesians chapter 3. And why not? Because God asked us to do this. He wants everyone to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And we're to make known the mystery that was hidden. It's no longer hidden. So that means we as believers need to make it known, make known the mystery, and be faithful to that. Ephesians chapter 3, and this one's a big one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he'd made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Jew, Gentile, Church of God, it's one body. There's no more division. Don't let anybody put you in that. There's many divisions out in the world, but as a believer, it's a one body. There is no more division. And let me tell you, that will get tested. The mystery has been hid from all ages to come, and now it is revealed to us. Jew, Gentile, Church of God, no more division, and that's beautiful. It cost Jesus Christ his life, you know? That's love. That's God. We are to be faithful to that. Don't let anything else besides what the Word says slip in there. We're responsible to keep that. We're responsible to be faithful to the mystery. Keep that doctrine pure. It's a big deal. We lose the mystery. We lose who we are in Christ, who we are as a believer, our standing, and our relationship with God. It's not like it's lost that we don't have it. It's just if you don't know, you won't use it. So you don't want to lose the mystery. It's something that's very important. We are to be faithfully committed to the mystery. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I mean, and I think we do a great job at this. I mean, look at this room's full. You know, we do make known the mystery. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Bold and faithful to the mystery. It needs to be known, and we need to stick with it. It doesn't need additional things to it. We don't need to take away from it. It's clear, and that's how we need to keep it. There are a lot of things that people are proclaiming that they really believe and want to be heard, and they won't stop until they're heard. And what about the mystery? We need to be that bold. Everyone has the right to say whatever they want about everything, but we have the beautiful privilege of speaking the mystery and being bold. And if people don't like it, that's their problem. The next thing that we're going to look at is being faithful in prayer. So let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. It's funny, all this stuff that does go on, all these different things that people proclaim and talk about, it's just a distraction. It's just devilish. It's just stupid, really. You just have to be sharp and not engage into that stuff and just be sharp with the Word and bring it back to the Word. It's the mystery. Jew, Gentile, Church of God, one body. Who cares what you look like? Who cares what nationality you are? Who cares what your upbringing is? That's what the Word says. It costs God his only begotten Son, and we can't lose that. So, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. We are to be faithful in prayer. Pray for one another. It's not just so that we know each other's faults, because what good does that do? But that we get together and we pray and that we help each other. Call someone. Go see someone. Touch them. Hug them. It's important. It's great. I love getting texts, and I send texts to and all that stuff. But that one-on-one contact for someone, holding somebody and praying for them, it's so important. We need that. And that's something that the devil's trying to take away too. We need each other. We need physical contact with each other. So pray for each other, hold somebody and pray for them, but stay faithful to that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. It's so funny, the world is so scared to touch each other. And it's healing. Our touch is healing. Colossians chapter 4. 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. We're to continue to pray for one another. To watch in the same with thanksgiving. Pray, watch, and be thankful. 1 John chapter 3. And we've seen some prayers be answered as believers. We've gotten together and have prayed together and been faithful to that. And we've seen lives saved and people get healed and doors open and just wonderful things. And something that we are good at. But don't forget that we need that one-on-one physical contact. We need that. It's important. God made a body for a reason, not just to text each other, but to be together, you know? 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. My John's falling out of my Bible. 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. I'm sorry, we're in a different section, and this one's to love one another. So he gave us commandment. This is something God said, do, and that's to love one another. And that's something, again, that we're really good at doing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The other thing I thought of, too, was don't forget about those that aren't around anymore, you know? They may not be here, and maybe they got tricked, or whatever each situation is, but they're still part of the body. You still need to reach out and pray, and, you know, if God shows you, go visit them. But if you're not even thinking about them, you know, but don't forget, it's the one body. People walk away for all different reasons, but they need the word, and they need God, and they need us, you know? Sometimes we're the only way back to them, back for the word for them. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, did I tell you to go there? I did. 1 second. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. How do we know about love? God, because God's love. So we are to love one another with that love, being patient, be forgiving, be kind, really love. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and in preferring one another. And we do. I think we do. So what is a faithful person? Someone who's reliable. Someone who shows up. Someone who will do what needs to get done at any time. You have the heart of service. The heart of great love for the believers, for God, for his word, which is part of it, but also a person who isn't full of it, someone who's honest when it comes to the word. And you walk and you do your best for God. And it's really cool because you're about the word and you are to be faithful, not just in serving and all that stuff, but the basic things, praying, you know, getting into the word and doing your best to walk for God. And one thing that stood out to me huge while I was doing this teaching was that God called us to be faithful. He didn't call us to be perfect. You know, none of us are perfect. Perfection's in the Lord. And if you think you're perfect, you're going to fall short, because we all do. Perfection's in the Lord. We need to be faithful in the basic things so that we can handle, if we can handle the basic things, praying, showing up, being at fellowship, loving one another, if someone needs something, you're there, then maybe God will give you a little bit more responsibility. But remember, God's the one that gives the responsibility, not people. So we looked at being faithful. We looked at that many things that people commit to jobs, to relationships, to, I don't know, a lot of things, to recycling, I don't know, just things. But if we look at God and just how wonderful he is, that's the least we can do, is to commit. What is this life compared to all eternity? What is giving of your time compared to God giving you crowns for the things that you do? You know, there's benefits to being a believer. You have direct access to God. You have perfect prayer. You have Holy Spirit. You have peace that passes all understanding. And there's room for advancement. So what about being faithful to God and his word and his people? Why not be faithful to God and his word? Because we saw God is love. We saw God is patient. We saw that God is a delivering God. If you have a need, if there's something that's stopping you from being your best for God, get it taken care of. You're not alone. You don't have to do this on your own. But if there is something that you have, let somebody know. Get prayed for. You know, get the word on it. God is patient. We're not perfect. We screw up. And God will deliver us. God is for us. God is not a liar. And God is faithful. God makes a way where there is no way. That's the God that we could need to commit our lives to. A few things that we looked at of being faithful to is the mystery. That's super important. Jew, Gentile, Church of God, one body. We need to be faithful for praying for one another and loving one another. We need to stay put on this stuff with the heart of great love and a heart of great service. Being faithful in the little things is being faithful in the much. So to close out, I'm just going to read to you a few, you didn't get scared. You didn't have to be scared. Not a lot. You guys have seen this, right? Lifelines. And there's the section on commitment. So I'm going to read to you a few of these lifelines, which I thought were really cool. Personal commitment is not an option. It's necessity. And it's true. True commitment means involvement. And that's also true. I'm not going to say that after all of them. Quality is sold out commitment. We have to be more sold out to our pursuit than the world is to theirs. And that right now is really true. People are really convinced of what they believe in now. And it's messed up. God's getting taken out of a lot of things. And we need to be more convinced than they are of what they're promoting and be convinced of God. Because it's scary. But we got the word. But they're not going to hear it if you're keeping it to yourself and you're being scared about, you know, somebody saying that you're not being loving because you're not accepting every letter and person that, stupid. Anyway, it's a different topic. God moves with people who move. God can move with someone who makes mistake better than someone who doesn't move. God can help you. He's not asking you to be perfect, but he needs you. You're needed. And we have a lot to do. You can't dwell on your weakness, or you'll never take it to the commitment of God's word. You'll never make it to the commitment of God's word. We are rewarded both now and eternally for our faithfulness in this life. And it's true. We're faithful here, and we'll bless God because that's what he wants us to do. But you get rewards. You get nice crowns and stuff when you get to heaven. And the reward of the future of God's gracious and loving heart of blessing upon those of us who remain faithful. We're to remain faithful. And if I know the word, I don't budge on it. And that's huge. Being faithful, we saw, like what John did that line, is God's faithful from the beginning all the way to the end. And being faithful doesn't mean you just show up once or a couple of weeks and I'm good, I was faithful. You just show up time and time again, and you might get hurt. I'm not going to lie. You might get hurt a lot, but you still show up because you're serving God, a God that's faithful, a God that's kind, a God that's patient. And we, as believers, are to mimic that. If you want people to know who God is, they're going to look at you, And they're going to look at your walk and your heart and what you do. And if we mimic God, we give them something really good to look at. So that's what I wanted to share, being faithful.